Hello and welcome to our site. I don't often preach how-to sermons, but today I'd like to share some thoughts on how to start again. How to start again when the world as you knew it has been shattered. It has been nothing short of heartbreaking to see the havoc COVID-19 has created in our world. The lives lost is tragic beyond description. But the millions of jobs lost, income lost, the multiplied thousands of businesses that will never recover, the poverty, the hunger, the suffering and the sorrow, and then looking ahead, the new normal after lockdown. What will that mean to so many whose lives have been devastated? But for someone else it may be a divorce or a separation, a disease, a tragedy, the loss of a loved one. How to start again when your world has been broken? So many great authors have written volumes and so many great preachers have preached sermons on rebuilding your life. So many have been a blessing to me, and I simply glean from them many of the Bible principles that I share with you today. Gordon MacDonald, Dale Galloway, Chuck Swindoll, Larry Crabb, James Dobson, John Maxwell, and a host of others have been such a blessing in my own life, but the principles are drawn from the Word of God. And so please have your Bible handy now and turn with me to one of my favorite books in the New Testament. I'm sure it's yours as well, or one of them, Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians, written from a prison, written from a place of suffering, deprivation, injustice. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, and then we'll read some selected verses. Paul says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only on your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." And then a cross in verse 14, "Do nothing without complaining, do everything rather without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. So, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing." Then over the page in Philippians chapter 3, from verse 7, Paul says, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." Then the next chapter, chapter 4 of Philippians, the second part of verse 11. "I have learned to be content, what are the circumstances." What a statement. "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength." And then across in verse 19, "And my God will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." What a lovely passage of Scripture, and may God bless his word to us and encourage our hearts as we consider the subject, how to start again, how to start again when your world has fallen apart, when your life has been shattered. So here are 9 principles, nothing new, but I'd like to underscore them. 9 principles from the Word of God that will be a help to us as we seek to start again. There comes a time when every one of us needs to know the biblical principles that we must follow in order to rebuild our lives. Number 1, accept what you cannot change. There comes a time when you cannot change what's happened, and the best thing you can do is face it squarely and accept it. Accept the situation for what it is. Face the truth and accept it. If you like, suck it up. I think you know the serenity prayer, and what a great prayer it is. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There comes a time when you cannot change what has happened. You simply have to stand up to it, place it in the Lord's hands, and stop struggling. Stop fighting the inevitable. That will stop a lot of hurt. Never worry about anything that is out of your power to change. Concentrate on living and enjoying it as best you can, because you were created for something greater than brokenness, I promise you. There comes a time when you have to kind of let go and let God. Like Jesus in Gethsemane, sometimes that's an awful battle that you have to win through in the place of prayer. And then you'll know what to leave and what to change, and the result will be inner serenity. Number 2, stop playing the blame game. That is, if you are. It's so easy to do that, isn't it? It's our default mode to start playing the blame game and blame the government and blame this one and blame that one and blame that situation. Friend, to apportion blame is the oldest game in the book. Adam and Eve did that. Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed Adam, and Adam blamed the serpent, and he had not a leg to stand on. Blame somebody else. Stop playing the blame game. As long as we play the blame game, we allow ourselves to be victimized. It never heals, it always hurts. The blame game never makes people whole in their relationship. It only breaks relationships further. It never unites, it only divides. It never builds, it only tears down. It never solves the problem, it only compounds it if you play the blame game. We have to stop blaming God. We have to stop blaming others. Man is never a failure until he blames someone else. But he who admits his failings is in God's sight anything but a failure. And thirdly, make the wonderful discovery or the rediscovery of who you are. Make sure that you have committed your life wholly to the Lord. Jesus suffered and died on the cross for your eternal salvation. If you do not know him as Savior and friend, as Shepherd and Lord, the wisest thing you can do is to make the discovery that God loves you and he has a plan for your life, not just for time, but for all eternity. God so loved the world, so loved you and me, that he gave his one and only Son, so that believing on him, we might not perish, but have eternal life. God has made you special, unique, loved by him. When God made you, he threw away the mold. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. As a Christian, your life is hidden with Christ in God, and God is at work in everything for your good, even the things that seem so bad at the time. Therefore, to love yourself is the Christian thing to do. We are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Loving ourselves means loving what God loves. It's the decent and freeing thing to do. when you recognize you are the temple of God. He dwells within you by your Spirit. You're a child of the King of Kings. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are blessed with every blessing of the Spirit in heavenly places. You are unique in the body of Christ, the Church. God is not finished with you yet, and so make the wonderful discovery or rediscovery that you are a man, a woman, a young person, a boy, a girl, or an older person, one whom God loves so much that he gave his Son on the cross to redeem you from all eternity. Make the wonderful discovery of who you are and live in the light of what God says about your situation. He's your refuge and your strength. He's an ever-present help in trouble, and his thoughts toward you, moment by moment, are too numerous to mention. And so, fourth principle, slam the door on self-pity. Oh man, Elijah the prophet got into trouble the moment he began to feel sorry for himself. What a wonderful thing it is, like the Apostle Paul, beaten, stripped, unjustly treated, slammed into prison, for only having a testimony to the truth as it is in Jesus. And Paul slams the door on self-pity. You see, self-pity can hurt you more than what has happened to you. It opens the door to depression. Give self-pity an inch, it'll take a mile. It's not only self-destructive, it's socially destructive. Self-pity mars your relationship with others. It wears out their attention and their affection. Better to pity your enemy than to pity yourself. Stop the self-pity party. Slam the door on self-pity. Put what has happened behind you. And yes, you can regret what has happened, whether it's through COVID-19 and that effect of the pandemic, or whether it's a divorce or a separation or a loss of a loved one. There comes a time when you must slam the door on self-pity and know that you are made for more than self-pity. So spot it quickly and choose something better, because God definitely has something better for you. Focus your attention on what you have, not on what you have lost. And you're not a victim under the circumstances. In Christ, you can choose to be a victor over your circumstances, because God is on the throne. With God's help, make the best of the worst. Always remember, whatever is wrong is my opportunity, with God's help, to make it right. So give yourself in service to others, because self-pity is a direct result of self-centeredness, and there's no better cure than serving others. And then, principle number 5, apply healing, or if you like, healing a medicine to your emotional wounds. What happens to us in a major crisis is not nearly as important as how we react to it when it happens. If we go on hurting emotionally long after the injury, then I'm afraid we have no one to blame but ourselves. So, God isn't asking us to bury our hurts and suppress them and withdraw and retreat. No, we're not asked to do anything like that. We're not asked to hold on to our hurts. The Bible teaches us how to eliminate resentment, hate, and bitterness, and become emotionally whole again. No one can hurt you any more than you let them. And so tend to your attitudes and actions immediately, and reject what is ungodly. Say, Lord Jesus, help me to clean out this wound. I give all resentment and ill feeling to you, Lord, and I release it to you. And help me, Lord, to practice forgiveness, just as Jesus did. We know that we can through him. Only the offended can forgive. So let's forgive and pray for those who despitefully use us. Nothing neutralizes resentment like prayer. Let God heal your broken spirit. He specializes in it. Make allowances for those who've hurt you, and be a peacemaker. The Bible teaches, overcome evil by doing good. So take the initiative in good actions towards those who've wronged you, wherever you have the opportunity. Live the positive, good life that Christ called you to live, no matter what anyone else does, and before you know it, you'll be healthy, happy, completely whole inside. We have to take responsibility for our own emotional state, and by the grace of God, the cleansing forgiveness of Jesus, and the indwelling Holy Spirit's ministry to our souls, we're able to be healthy emotionally, completely whole again. And then principle number 6, choose and cultivate a positive attitude. Maybe the Bible calls that faith. Believing the promises of God. You see, in the final analysis, it's our own attitude that will make us or break us, no matter what has happened to us. So don't spend too much time with negative people. Their disease is contagious. The power to choose your attitude is yours. When troubles bowl you over, you still have the choice to choose the attitude that you'll adopt, whether it'll be positive or negative, whether it'll be creative or destructive. Friend, we were created to have dominion, not wallow in defeat. So it helps to become an ambassador of good works to every person you meet day by day, taking the opportunities that God gives you to love your neighbor, to do good to others. No matter what happens, look for the good and you'll find it somewhere. Refuse to dwell on the negative. By an act of the will, fill your mind with what is positive. That's what Paul enjoins us to do in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks to God. So never surrender to negative emotions. Admit them, but don't give in to them. Practice what I like to call the principle of replacement. Replace anger with love. Replace despair with hope. Replace greed with generosity. Replace worry with trust. Replace guilt with forgiveness. And make sure that you slam the door on that which is suggestive, that which is lewd, that which is perverted, that which is immoral, that which is vulgar. Don't conform any longer, says the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, verse 2. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, believing the best can set in motion the powerful forces that make the best happen. So Paul says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. You can count on it, friend. God is good, and He has a good plan for your life. And it's so much fun to live expectantly. Something good is going to happen every day. You can be sure of that. And so affirm these positive things aloud. Quote the promises of God. Jesus is a great attitude transformer. You become like your thoughts. So choose and cultivate a positive attitude that's based on the promises of God's word. Principle number 7, when your life has been shattered, love again, only more. Paul points out in that great love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love never fails. Really, love never fails. If you lack love, you lack being a complete person, no matter what else you have. Love is the one and only antidote which can save man from the many diseases produced by negative emotions. Without love, man is likely to perish from a variety of diseases of body and mind. It's love or perish, really. Life's greatest joy is to give your love away. The love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us, Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Without the giveaway of love, you become pot-bound. The fruit the Holy Spirit produces in the life of the follower of Jesus who trusts the Lord and the promises of God is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. By God's grace and through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we can always learn to love again, only more and more. Principle number 8, put your failures behind you and move ahead. Whatever's happened to you, put it behind you and move ahead. Define failure in a positive new way, the way the Apostle Paul does it. Forgetting what is past, I strain forward to what lies ahead. Whatever I thought was gain, I count as loss, and I put it behind me, and I recognize that even to fail is not to be a failure. Life's more than a few failures. No person's a total failure unless he chooses to be. Everybody has something that's successful. And have you noticed that success builds success, really? To mope in failure is a dishonor to the name of God and the care and provision of God. And it's a denial of the power of God, especially for the Christian, because we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. To err is human. If failure makes us a disgrace, then we're all disgraceful people. Human beings deserve a little more human kindness than that. No person who's ever a failure is ever a failure who tries. Failure's no disgrace when you've tried your best, amen? So life's greatest failure is to stop trying, so put your failures behind you and move ahead. One of the biggest tricks of the devil is to try and convince us when our life is shattered that it's all over. Well, no matter what the failure is, it need never be final. So wash the fear of failure out of your mind. Kill your fears before they kill you. No emotion can paralyze more than fear. Fear is more destructive than the personality than failure. Usually we fear what others may think of us if we've failed, not so much the failure itself. So learn from failure and move ahead if you have failed. There's no progress without risk. Friend, your chances of success are greater when you've failed, if you learn to learn from your failure and move on. Edison was unsuccessful in his first 6,000 experiments. He was well informed on ways you cannot develop a light bulb. Let failures become stepping stones to wholeness, completeness, and success. And so we move to the final principle, number 9. Know that the best is yet to come. Principle number 9. Know that the best is yet to come. It certainly is. The Apostle Paul says, I consider the sufferings of this present time not even worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us in Jesus. The most fantastic things happen to people who believe. Faith is the initiator of achieving. It lights up your life with the possibilities of God's promises being fulfilled. You see, just as Christ believed in Simon and called him Peter a rock, so he believes in you and me. We're one thing now, even when our life seems to have been shattered, but Christ sees in us the possibility of becoming something else, someone else. Peter became the man Jesus believed he could be, and so can you, so can I. So let's believe on the promise that God has for us, that he is making all things new, because with God, we're unbeatable. That's a combination no one can overcome, not even the devil. God and I are a force to be reckoned with, and it's the same with the church. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My grace is sufficient for you, says the Lord. My strength can be perfected through your weakness. So how do you rebuild your broken world? How do you start again? Well, here are some principles that definitely help. Number 1, accept what you cannot change. Number 2, don't play the blame game. Number 3, rediscover who you are as a child of God, a child of the King. Number 4, slam the door on self-pity. Number 5, let God heal your emotional wounds as you wait upon him, as you soak your soul in prayer and meditation and the promises of God. Number 6, choose and cultivate a positive attitude. Number 7, learn to love again, only more this time. Number 8, put your failures behind you and move ahead. And number 9, know that in the economy of God, the best is yet to come. God has a great plan for every single one of His children. He will use everything in time, even the things that shatter us, to make us more like Jesus, if we let Him. And then all of eternity awaits us. With the Lord as our shepherd, we need fear no evil. His goodness and mercy will flank us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And be encouraged with this truth. No ear has heard, no mind has seen, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Let's bow together in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank You that even in the most shattering experiences of life, we can know how to start again if we place our faith in Jesus and build our lives on the principles of the promises of Your Word. Lord, we freely acknowledge there are some things that have happened to us that we cannot change ourselves. But we pray that You'd help us to have grace and wisdom to change the things we can for the better. Deliver us from playing the blame game. Help us to keep rediscovering who we really are in Christ as those who are blessed with every blessing of the Spirit in the heavenly places. May we always just slam the door on self-pity and grant, dear Lord, that we may know emotional wholeness as we meditate in Your Word and the truths of Your Word and think on those things that are pure and lovely, faith-building. Help us then to choose always a positive attitude that is based on the promises of God. And help us through the indwelling Holy Spirit to just keep on growing in love for You, Lord, and in love for others. Grant that we may be given the grace to put failures behind us and to move ahead. Thank You, dear Lord, that none of us are failures as we trust You for Your grace and mercy and kindness for the way ahead. And so help us, dear Heavenly Father, to know that the best is yet to be. Thank You, Father, that the sufferings of this present time are not even worth comparing with the glory that is to follow. Help us then, no matter what the circumstances, like the Apostle Paul, to know the secret of contentment, to know how to abound, how to be abased, how to have plenty, how to have nothing. And grant, dear Lord, that we may know with the Apostle Paul, "My God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And so now may the peace of God, our Heavenly Father, the love of the Lord Jesus, who gave Himself for us on the cross, and the counsel and comfort of the Holy Spirit, be our portion as we move ahead into whatever the new normal will look like. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen.
Just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, trust Him more. just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him.